How's everybody doing this morning? You know, I was worshiping, and about the fourth song, I just about just preached my message right then. I was like, yes, Lord! Like, hold back, it's all right, it's okay. I guess I could have done that. So, would you open in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1? Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the names of Jesus. And we finished that up last week, and I felt like the Lord was, I thought that I knew what I was going to be speaking on this week, and as I was praying about it this week, the Lord was like, nope, I want you to talk about the power of hope, because Jesus is our hope. And so we're going to be talking about that today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. I'm going to read that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to talk about the power of hope, and we are well, I think most of us are in full swing of this Christmas season. And if you're not, you will be in a few days because it's coming. And there's something about the Christmas season that can remind us and bring about hope. And it seems sometimes, I don't know if it feels this way to you, but it feels like the air kind of changes, you know, when you start getting into thinking about Christmas and Jesus coming. It's like something changes. It's like you can feel hope in the air. And for many people, it's not that way, but for many of us, it is. And through Jesus, we get to live out eternity in a personal relationship with God. He took on our sin so that we can now have victory over our past, over our present, and can look forward to being with him forever in heaven. And that is the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus. And Christmas is an opportunity for us to remember the hope that we have. Now, hope, by definition, is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. And it's also a feeling of trust. So there's an element of trust in our expectation that we have. So when we look at this verse in 1 Peter, we see that when God gave his son as a sacrifice for our sins and he rose from the dead, we were born again and we were birthed into this hope. It began in us. And now we can have a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. We can live and with this feeling of trust. It's hope. And Peter describes this hope as a living hope. Now, for something to be considered living, it has a few characteristics. So living things, they move, they respond to stimuli, they reproduce, and they grow, and they're dependent upon their environment, okay? So through Christ, this hope is living inside of you. Jesus brought it with him when you asked him to come and into your life and to live in your heart. You now have access to this hope. And it's alive. So it can move with you. It can respond to you. It grows, and this hope is dependent upon its environment, which is you. You have to choose it. Now, hopelessness would obviously be the lack of or the absence of hope. And I'm sure that there have been many of us who have gone through seasons where we have felt hopeless, where we're not connected to the hope. Now, whether this happened to you before you came to the Lord or in seasons after you came to Christ, hopelessness is a real thing, and it affects us in a lot of ways. And I'm sure that many of you may have even felt hopeless at times this year. But why is hopelessness such a battle? Why can it be dangerous to our lives? And what impact does hopelessness have on those around us? Well, hope stabilizes us. It calms our anxious thoughts. And when the busyness of our mind is calm, we are more likely to be intentional of the things that the Lord has for us. I believe that intentionality in the life of believers is one of the most effective tools against the enemy. When we are intentional in our faith, we mess up the enemy's plans. We begin to impact the world around us. Hopelessness paralyzes us. It does the opposite. If you've ever felt hopeless, you know what I'm talking about. Hopelessness makes us feel spiritually and physically weak. We feel unable to pray, unable to reach out, unable to take care of ourselves, let alone take care of anybody else. And in fact, we may not even notice what's happening with the people around us. We don't have the energy to combat the enemy's lies and can succumb to those lies so easily. Lies like, we're not enough, that maybe we're doomed, that the Lord has forgotten us or that he doesn't care about us. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, we see the effect that hope has on our lives. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Well, this verse spells out the impact that hope has in our lives. Are you growing weary? Are you feeling weak? You need hope. Your strength can be renewed. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and you will not faint. Can I just say that that's probably one of the reasons why I have gotten distracted at times and didn't like dig into the Word of God? The enemy brings this up because he doesn't want me to be strong. He doesn't want me to focus on the Lord, on the Lord's hope. He doesn't want you to be strong. So he tries to distract us. Because when I'm purposeful about getting into the Word, it fills me with hope. And when I get up on those mornings that I'm being intentional about it, the enemy is like, oh, crud, she's up. I got a problem now. And hope lifts us. According to psychologytoday.com, it says as long as a patient, individual, or victim has hope, they can recover from anything and everything. However, if they lose hope, unless you can help them get it back, all is lost. So if you have hope, you can recover from anything and everything. In fact, in that same article, they say that almost everyone that survives a life-threatening or an impossible ordeal will point to hope as the one thing that got them through. We see this actually all the time when we read the Psalms. Many of the Psalms begin as laments from places of deep sorrow or distress. And the authors are asking for help from God, for God to rescue them. And Psalm 13 is only 6 verses long, but you see this whole progression, and it begins this way. How long, Lord, will you forget me for? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemies will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But then it quickly turns and hope takes over. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been good to me. Do you see that progression? That hope that kicks in the middle of that. The truth is spoken, and it overcomes the enemy's lie. David wrote this, King David wrote this, and he is real with the Lord about his feelings. But as he thinks over who he knows God to be, he knows what to expect, and he can speak truth about the Lord, that God is trustworthy, that his salvation is a blessing, and that God has done good things in his life. When I hear that, I get really excited, because we're all going through things all the time. But we have hope in Jesus, and Jesus lives in us. In fact, many of the things that we're going through may seem impossible, but hope is the key to overcoming the battle of our mind and our heart. Speaking those truths with thankfulness lifts us, and it gives us hope. It also points us. Once we've been lifted, once we have our energy back, hope takes the next step. It gets our eyes off of ourselves, and it puts them first on the Lord. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." The writer of this verse understands something. Number one, again, they're real with themselves. And being real with yourself is important. And he's telling his soul, stop pointing your focus at the negative things that we're seeing right now. Put your hope in God. And number two, he's saying, God is where our focus should be. And he is worthy of our praise. So he praises God. He combats feeling downcast with truth and worship. Just the same way that David did in Psalm 13, we need to do that. I've asked my kids sometimes when they're grumpy, they'll be, you know, moping around the house or whatever, like, what are you listening to? And they know, and I know, that when we listen to worship music, uplifting music, songs that glorify God, that we get our focus back on him. It lifts us up. And you know, if you don't agree with that, I just know it to be true in my life and in my home and in my kids. And they know it too. So when I say, hey, you know, what you been listening to this morning? And, you know, I've had one of my kids say, I need to go, like, listen to some good stuff for a while. I'm like, yeah, you need to go do that. It points us, it lifts us up, and it points us in the right direction. It changes, it can change our mood. It fills our minds and our hearts with hope. Hope also points us, it points us toward God, and it points us towards others, because hope was meant to be shared. This life was meant to be shared. First, the great hope, which is found in the message of the cross, is always a great topic to focus on. Romans 8:5. Do I have that up here? Nope, I don't have it up here. Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." That word "set" is not done by osmosis, and it's not done by accident. That's an intentional word. If you want to live by the hope of the Spirit, you have to set your mind on the Spirit. It's a choice that you make. Set your mind on that hope. Set your mind on what the Lord has done, on who he is. It's your choice. It's your action. And Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." When your mind is pointed toward God, you will have peace and trust God, and your hope will be found in him. The next thing that hope does is hope gets us moving. So we've been lifted and we've been pointed in the right direction, and now we have that hope that will get us moving. Remember that it's alive and it's active, so it moves and it can move us. It moves us away from hopelessness and towards his purposes for our life. We are carriers of that same hope. God has given us his hope, and he gives us the opportunity to carry that hope to others. And what a fun thing to do. Not only do we get to have it, but we get to give it away to the people around us. And a lot of times that is just by being obedient to do the things that God's asking you to do. It doesn't mean you have to go and be a missionary somewhere unless God's telling you to, but it's just be obedient to what he tells you to do in your life. There are people in your life that need the hope that is found in you. And you can just be you. You can just let Jesus, let that flow through you. Dutch Sheets wrote a book called The Power of Hope. Let God renew your mind, heal your heart, and restore your dreams. And in that book, he tells a story that talks about a woman who took that job of being obedient, to share the hope. She took that job seriously. And she was a grandma, and she was at a family reunion in 1965, and she was in Florida with her family. And at 2:00 one morning, she woke everyone up in the house and told them that God had told her that people needed to hear his word. So she told everyone there to go and find as many Coke bottles as they could. So I'm assuming this took some time because they brought 200 of them. So they really had to, either they drank a lot of soda or they went out and found them, because that's a lot. Or she has a huge family. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But she had 200 of them. And what she did was she wrote scriptures in each one. So they got soda pop bottles, corks, and paper. And she wrote scriptures on each piece of paper. And that family put over 200 verses in the surf on Cocoa Beach. Now, for years after this, she was contacted by people all over thanking her for these messages that they received. In fact, in 1974, that woman passed away, and a month later, the last letter arrived, and it said this, and I'm just going to read this letter to you. It says, "Dear Mrs. Gause, I'm writing this letter by candlelight. We no longer have electricity on the farm. My husband was killed in the fall when the tractor overturned. He left 11 young children and myself behind. The bank is foreclosing. There's one loaf of bread left. There's snow on the ground, and Christmas is 2 weeks away. I prayed for forgiveness before I went to drown myself. The river has been frozen over for weeks, so I didn't think that it would take very long. When I broke the ice, a Coke bottle floated up, and I opened it, and with tears and trembling hands, I read about hope. Ecclesiastes 9:4, but for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. You went on to reference other scriptures, Hebrews 7:19, 6:18, John 3:3. I came home and I read my Bible, and now I'm thanking God for the message. We're going to make it now. Please pray for us, but we're okay. May God bless you and yours." And it was signed, "A Farm in Ohio." This one woman placed her hope in God and was willing to be an obedient carrier of that hope. And 9 years after she placed these simple bottles of hope in the surf on the beach, they were still giving hope. When she had passed away, they were still giving hope in a river in Ohio. It just happened to be the right river by the right farm at the right time. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. See, God knew exactly the moment that he wanted to bring his hope. And he set things in motion 9 years before it was needed. Because one woman was obedient to get up in the middle of the night and get moving and share the word of God in the way that he showed her how to do it. Lives were changed. And not just the one woman. You think about her family, 11 children. And not even her children, but all the other people who found those 200 bottles. So I would ask you today, what is God asking you to do during this time to share his hope? His hope is in you. It's for you. You get to walk around with it in your life. You get to set your mind, you get to choose to set your mind on it. You get to activate it in your life. You get to watch it grow. But there's a choice to be made. Maybe it's a person that you know you need to pray with. Maybe it's a scripture that you know you need to share. Maybe it's related to the Christmas season. Maybe there's going to be opportunities for you to reach people and touch people's lives with the hope that God has given you. Maybe it's time for that person on your heart to accept Christ, and he's asked you to partner with him to give that invitation. Maybe it's messages of hope that you need to share on social media in a sort of modern day hope in a bottle thing. I kind of smiled when I thought about that. I was like, yeah, you put that out there and it's there forever. You never know when people are going to come by it, when it's going to encourage them, when it's going to bless people. You never know how God can use the hope inside you. It's his hope. It's his hope. It will grow in the way that he wants it to grow. You just need to activate it in your life by choosing to focus on that hope that's found in him, to be lifted by it, to be pointed by it, and to get moving because of it. Draw near to God by choosing to read the word of God, by choosing to set aside time to pray for people. Pray a prayer of thanksgiving to God. It activates that hope. Be purposeful about embracing that hope. It will affect and influence the way that you look at things. You can let it change your thoughts. It will change your attitude. And if you don't know how that looks for you personally, you can talk to him about that too. I love how personal God is, that he meets us right where we're at, that he knows what we're going through. He knows those of us who easily run to hope and those of us who really struggle with it. And he doesn't look down on you if you struggle with it. He just says, okay, let me show you. Spend some time with me. I'm going to show you how it goes. As I said before, David was real with God. He would tell him exactly what he was feeling. You see David throw fits. You see David in the depths of despair. You see him happy and jumping around, all over the place. David was real with God. He took God at his word, and he trusted him with his life. God's not afraid or intimidated or frustrated with your honesty. You can't move from the spot that you're in unless you're honest about where you are. And God wants to help your faith be genuine, and he wants your trust in him to be real. We can say all day long that we trust in God, but then when something comes, that kind of shows you right there. Am I trusting God? And at any moment, you can turn, be pointed, and trust in him again. Like this verse in 1 Peter that we went through. I think I put it up here again. Yep. Let your faith be genuine so that when it's tested by fire, it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. Let him be glorified in your life. When your faith is genuine, you bring glory and honor to God. And my prayer for you over the next couple weeks as we go into Christmas and then after that into the new year is found in Romans 15, verse 13, where it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." You may abound in hope. That's my prayer for you. Father God, I just thank you so much for who you are, Lord. I thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're not afraid of our honesty, Lord. That you already know right where we're at. That you meet us there, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray for each one that is in this room and each one that is in within earshot, Lord God, of this message, that you would help them to abound in hope. Lord, let their faith be genuine. And Lord, for those who are struggling with that point, Lord, I pray that you would just care for them right now, Lord God. That you would show them, that you would teach them how to have a genuine faith, Lord. That you would teach them that you care for them, Lord. That you would just touch their hearts right now, Lord God, and fill them with your hope. That you would fill them with your joy and your peace, Lord God. That they would be able to walk out this Christmas season just surrounded by your hope, Lord, that they would feel it in the air. Lord, I thank you for the fact that every day that we wake up, you have a purpose for us. Every day. And Lord, when we fail miserably, you have a purpose for us. We can just turn to you. And Lord, when we're succeeding, you have a purpose for us, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you would just move through us, Lord, that we would be carriers of your hope over the next couple weeks and just always, but Lord, beginning right now, that we would choose to turn to you, that we would choose your hope. Thank you, Lord God, that it grows in us. So, Lord, grow our hope, grow our faith. And we thank you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. When you go today, if you have something that you're struggling with, maybe you're hopeless, you're feeling hopeless, today you have an opportunity to address it. You have an opportunity to address those hopeless places. And I just really want to encourage you, before you leave today, have somebody pray with you. Have somebody pray with you. And for those of you online, reach out and have someone pray with you. God will meet us where we're at, and he's so faithful to do it. And I'm excited to see what God does. I'm excited because I know who God is. He's a God of hope, and he's not done with us yet. So be blessed. Have a great week. And next week, I'm excited for our family Christmas service. We're going to read through the Christmas story and sing Christmas carols and just, it's just going to be a good time. So we'll see you all then. God bless you.